Well, I've never said this publicly yet, so I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about this. Consider this an exclusive, but they're like, hey, we want to launch a show, a tech show. I got paid $10,000 total out of my $800,000 contract. They said it was a bad idea. And then years later, they're doing it. And I'm like, you...
Welcome back to the Digital Dive Podcast, a conversation about tech. My name is Darsh. I am one of your hosts and I'm heavily caffeinated.
I'm Jacqueline. I'm your other host. This week's episode, we have on genuinely one of my favorite people in tech, John Prosser, and also one of my favorite podcasters. He runs a podcast called Genius Bar. So you either know from that or Front Page Tech or from just being like a really good person. So I'm like so honored to have you on. So stoked.
And what an intro. You can't, no. You need to like dial it down easier on me. This is not, I'm a fan of your guys' podcast. I listen to this every week, so it's kind of crazy that, like, I'm on it now.
You're on it. It's actually so funny because you literally just made our day by telling us that.
Straight up.
So cool. And also, before we get in, I have, like, one more compliment for you. John has been there for me. There have been, like, two moments in my career where I literally had no idea what I was doing, and they were so stressful, and both times John showed up for me and, like, DM'd me and talked me through it, so... Great guy, super smart, but also really, really good friend. So stoked.
Aw, thanks so much.
Yeah, of course. All right, so before we hop in, just give like a little like one-liner. Like, what do you tell people? Actually, I have two questions for you. First one is, what do you tell people when they ask what your job is? Like, give the actual description. And then what do you tell people when you don't want to tell them that you're a YouTuber?
Oh my God. Oh, so at first it was like, I make videos on the internet, but that sounds like porn.
Okay.
So I backed away from that. There is some times where it's just like, I'm a plumber, you know, just a job that you understand.
Straight up lie.
Yeah. Just like completely lying through my teeth, especially like if I'm on trips, I could send you pictures, but every time it seems to be airports, like is the number one spot where people recognize me the most.
Okay.
Like if I'm going through a trip from the time I leave my house to the time I get to the destination, I have been recognized like four or five times.
Oh my God.
Like the last time I traveled, So my flight, I missed like two flights. It was awful, awful experience. Have you ever been to Chicago O'Hare?
I have not.
That good. That place is actual hell. Like when you're like, oh, I don't want to go to hell. That's because hell is Chicago.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know if you know that yet, but that's where it's at.
Learn something new every day.
Good to know.
So I missed my flight twice.
Okay.
Not because of me, because of them, because Chicago, they suck.
Because they suck.
And it's like, I don't know. It's like midnight at this point and I'm so hungry. So I get in the food court. And I'm like, you know, when you're super hungry and you're at an airport and you've been traveling all day and you're already gross, the way you eat is like an animal.
Oh, for sure. And you eat like the worst stuff.
Yeah. So I'm shoveling like this awful, awful old piece of pizza into my mouth like a gorilla. And there's this person watching me.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, he's just watching me because, you know,
you're eating the
like
way
an animal.
Like a gorilla. Yeah. Yeah.
I throw my stuff away and I start to walk away. And he's like, hey, man, love your show. Can I get a picture? And my mind just rewinds to what he must have seen. And I'm like, oh, God, no. There's been a couple times where people are like, hey, man, are you from YouTube? I'm like, huh?
Do you lie? You just say no?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like,
wow.
I'm a little bit socially awkward and I have a problem where.
But you're so naturally charismatic. I can't imagine.
No. When I'm in person or when I'm out.
Okay.
It's like I'm disconnected from what I do for a living.
Okay.
And I'm just me. And so sometimes when people recognize me, I'm completely caught off guard and I'm not in the, like, the, I'm not in that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So then, if I can't handle that, I'm just like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Ooh, okay. So last week this happened to me. I just met someone and we're just like talking for a couple of minutes and I literally just met them and I never tell anyone that I'm like a YouTuber right away.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this other person walks over and they're like, oh, like, do you make YouTube videos? I'm like, holy hell, no. So of course, like they're like, they know about the channel. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I make videos. They're like, oh, can we do a picture? I'm like, and I'm so flattered that they came up to me. Like it was the coolest thing ever. But then when they left, I then had to like explain to the other person I literally had also just met about the YouTube channel. I was like, why? Like now this is like the impression. They immediately looked it up like in the moment. They watched a video in front of me. I was like, I want to die right now.
I can't.
Why did they do that?
The cringe is so hard. Like, I won't listen to... I listen to your podcast all the time. I will not listen to this episode. I cannot listen
really?
Or watch stuff with me on it. Cannot.
Yeah, it's so bad. I was there, and I'm, like, dying. I'm like, please don't do this to me. No. And then because they saw how poorly I was reacting, they just kept it going.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, no.
Worst.
Have you been at, like, a family event ever where they watched the videos in front of you?
Yes.
Why
yes,
did they do
yes.
that?
I don't know. It's the worst. Please, if you see me in public, please don't watch my videos in front of me.
Red
Have you guys
flag.
Ever been recognized just for the podcast?
I haven't been. Darsh, have you?
I haven't. No, no. I only ever got recognized for YouTube, and that was like in high school, and it was just like the friends like around me who like knew I had a channel.
Okay.
But the shame was that the channel at the time, and like everyone listening, like I'm so sorry. Like I didn't realize I was a 15-year-old. I had no idea what I was doing. It was called The Vibration. Mm. Now that's a porno, John. That's a porno channel. So for the most part, when it came to like everyone, like people recognizing me from like around like the school board or like people, like friends of friends, they'd be like, hey man, like I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge vibrator. And I was like, I do not want to hear that.
Oh God. That's what your fan base is called. And you want to like, oh God.
The vibrators.
I still get messages on my birthday, bro. Like, yo, been a vibrator for 7 years. I love you, man. Like, happy birthday. Seriously.
I like that you're friends with a sense of humor, but oh my God, no.
Oh, they won't drop it. I'm going to hear that at my wedding.
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, your best man will be making the speech. Oh my God, that's wild. Yeah, John, I don't know, like for me too, why don't you tell people you're a YouTuber? Because my reason personally is that I feel like it leads to a lot of questions that I don't always feel like answering.
Yes, that's I don't have time. Like, especially if I'm not in the mindset of like this job and I'm just out trying to do something, I can't. Like, I just can't answer the questions because you know what questions follow that. Mm-hmm. How do you make money? Yep. Like, how much money
do you make?
Yes, and I always like, have you ever seen TV? You know the commercials? Yeah, it's like that.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like they're like more, like they're bolder variations of the questions, right?
Yes.
So like the tame one is like, how do you make money? But then the bold one is like, how much money do you make? The tame one is like, oh, like I've always wanted to do YouTube, but like a more bold version is like, help me start a YouTube channel, or like YouTube is easy. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the cool, like YouTube is the coolest thing ever. But yeah, definitely. And also the other thing is like, I think that sometimes being a YouTuber has a negative stigma around it. Like, this changing now. I think people actually trust it as a career, but you started 11 years ago. Like, when you started, I feel like the general stigma was like, oh, it's not a real job. How did you kind of like deal with that?
Oh, this is going to get kind of deep. So I don't know if you're ready for this.
Oh, go for it.
Also, just to follow up what we're on here, if people ask you how much money you make, could you even tell them?
No.
I couldn't either. I don't know. I don't know the amount.
Oh,
I've never actually sat down.
I couldn't tell them because like a lot of the sponsorships I do are like NDA'd. But you couldn't tell them because you don't know.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know the exact amount really either. I kind of know like generally.
So I have an accountant that like handles stuff. So I guess I could ask him. But it's more like I always set out that, you know, if I'm comfortable, if I don't have to worry about bills, I don't care how much is left.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I just pay my bills and I'm comfortable and I don't have to worry. If there's an emergency, I got it. If there's an emergency with other people or family, I got it. That's all I care about, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much exactly I make, but
that's how you know you're like,
so 11.
It. Okay. So 11 years ago.
11 years ago. So fuck. What happened was my mom passed away when I was 14.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
And then a year later,
okay,
my dad committed suicide because of it.
Oh my God.
So I'm like 15, 16 at this time, and my grandma has custody of me and my little brother. And then she gets cancer and she passes away when I'm 18.
God.
But
I'm
she
so
here's
sorry.
The kicker.
Oh no.
She asked me to take custody of my brother.
Stop
so
it when you're 18?
Wow. Yes. So now I'm 18 years old and I have custody of my brother who is 14, 15, and I have to get him through high school the rest of the way.
Oh my God. And you're probably still in high school, right?
I just graduated. Like, just got out of high school. And I, right out of high, so Front Page Tech started, I had a few other, like, quote-unquote real jobs. I worked at a grocery store, convenience store.
Wow.
And what had happened was, I lived in Ohio, and there was, like, a little lottery machine. It's called Keno. And you usually, like, bet a dollar and get a few back. But if you bet $20, and you get, like, two numbers right that are listed, you get 200 back. And I was a manager at this store.
Okay.
And there was we didn't have any business. So I would just always like spend time with this Keno machine. And you're allowed to do this. A customer can come up and ask me to print out the last 10 games of Keno.
Okay.
So you can see what numbers previously won. So I would print out the last 10 for myself and I would figure out, okay, the next game, I have like an 80% chance of getting these two numbers. So I would bet the two numbers and one night I walked away with like $2,500.
Oh my God.
And then the next day I got fired.
Because of this?
Yes, I got fired for playing the lottery and like instead of just like doing my job. So I took the $2,500, I bought a camera and some lights, and that's how Front Page Tech started. I had other YouTube channels. Like, I've been doing YouTube since before YouTube. It was called Google Video, before YouTube bought.
Oh my God, you're like an OG. You're like the ultimate OG.
That's OG status right there. Wow.
But in high school, people made fun of me because it was so foreign. You know, this stuff was so foreign.
Me as well when I first started YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it was, I wasn't doing it for a job. I was just doing it for fun. And so eventually, you know, I started doing tech videos on a previous YouTube channel that I had. That it had like 300 subscribers.
Okay.
And we did short films and just, it was really bad. We did try to do like funny skits.
Okay. Oh,
and
God.
I started uploading tech stuff on there and my 300 subscribers started complaining. And they were like, we don't want this stuff. So I was like, okay, I made another channel.
This
Front
is
Page
so
Tech.
Early that you already had like that audience engagement 11 years ago.
It was 300. It's when I say I had 300 subscribers and people were complaining, I mean like maybe two people left
still,
a comment.
I feel like people like leaving comments back then is like, I feel like there wasn't necessarily like that culture as much as there is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just created another channel, Front Page Tech.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be once a week, every Friday.
Okay.
And then at the last minute, I decided, okay, I'm going to go daily because I was obsessed with the idea of being able to say, I'll see you tomorrow.
I love this. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because there was, so have you heard of Chris Perillo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a tech show called TLDR.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I was going through a lot of stuff, it was like YouTubers that I could watch and turn to and depend on every day that like took me out of the awfulness of my life.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be that for other people. I wanted to be able to say, okay, I'll see you tomorrow and then make them laugh for like 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, you know, first of all, it's absolutely like terrible that happened. And I'm so sorry. Like nothing ever makes that better. But it's like really interesting to me because you're like one of the most wholesome people that I know. And I do feel much better every time I'm watching one of your shows. And it's funny because that would be like the thing that when I think about you, like that's the first thing I think about. Like if I watch your show, it's like almost like a form of escape in a way and like a wholesomeness to the day. And it makes sense that that's, I feel like a lot of things just like clicked into place. It makes sense like that's why your show is
why
that
it's
way.
That way.
Yeah.
I like to say that I make dumb videos for smart people.
I freaking love that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like
that saying is just perfect.
It's so funny because like they're like, oh, like describe your avatar or like what your purpose is. You've nailed it.
Yeah, that's it. That's in my Twitter bio. That's like, that's my mission statement.
Yeah.
It's like, People will watch the show and be like, oh, this is so stupid. The jokes are so stupid. Yes, that's the point.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to think about your day or what you have to do if you're busy or if you're going through some stuff. Who cares? Just like, let me tell you fart jokes for 10 minutes and we'll move on.
Was that hard to do when you were like in the depths of it? Because you started it around like one of the most horrible time periods in your life.
No, because it was an escape for me too.
Yeah,
it gave
that
makes
me sense.
Like a reason to exist almost. But
that makes sense.
So because I had custody of my brother,
okay,
that's when I started Front Page Tech around that time.
Okay. Oh my God.
And of course, my entire family's like, stop this, go get a real job.
Mm.
But I felt like I sacrificed so much already, sacrificed so much of my life to like take custody of my brother, that I wasn't willing to give up the one thing I was doing for me.
Of course. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love that you like stuck to your guns.
Yeah, so I kept doing Front Page Tech, didn't make any money. I did, like, I edited some stuff for people, like, whatever I could just to keep making Front Page Tech every day. Because I knew if I was going to make it, I had to make it every day.
And this is so early. Like, no one even believes in YouTube, really, at this point. Like, 11 years ago, no one can really see the business model. So it's amazing. Like, were you thinking, like, YouTube was going to be the business model? Or were you, like, go, like, traditional blog style?
Oh, no, I knew that I had a good show and I just needed the right people to see it.
I freaking love that. The self-belief.
Yeah. So I didn't, no joke. So obviously this is full-time now and there's a team that works for me, but this is relatively recent. Like I would say I made videos for 5 or 6 years before I could do it full-time, before I could say it's full-time. And when I say full-time, I mean like $1,000, $2,000 a month maybe. And
me too, honestly, a lot of, for like the first like years of my career.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I remember my first big quote unquote break, a YouTube network bought 2 episodes of the show every week to go on their YouTube channel. And it was for $25 an episode. And I thought I made it.
You were
like,
I made it. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is it. I'm getting paid to make my show. This is amazing.
Oh my God.
So that was like my first quote unquote big break, but I did anything to just make sure Front Page Tech survived. And then like 5 or 6 years in, I was getting maybe 300 views a video still. And
crazy.
Amazon found me.
Wow.
So I got a call from him. Yeah, I got a call from, you don't want chills yet. I got a call from Amazon. The department was Amazon Live, and they call me and they're like, hey, we want to, I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but they're like, hey, we want to launch a show, a tech show that would require you to move to New York City and host the show for us.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. And I was like, well, like, what are we, what kind of money are we talking about? And they were like, it'd be around 800,000 or so. And they said that like it was normal.
Oh my God. Wait, what year is this?
2016.
Okay. Oh my God.
And I lost it because they said it like
a casual.
I was going to be like, yeah, like I was going to have it like negotiate.
Yes. Like you were going to be like, no, that's a
that
million.
Sounds fine. Yeah. So they fly me out to New York City.
Okay.
And I do a pilot episode.
Okay.
So I audition with a bunch of different tech YouTubers.
Ooh.
I shouldn't say who they are.
Don't.
But
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I get the job.
Oh my God.
So they do, their goal was to have a show for basically every category. They had a veterinary show. They had a cooking show. And I was the tech show. The show was going to be called Livewire.
Okay.
I can send you pictures of the set. The set was awesome.
Oh my God.
They built. When the show got greenlit, which, by the way, I had to wait 6 months to hear back.
Wait, so for these 6 months, like, you don't know if it's going to happen or not happen?
For 6 months, I have no idea.
Stop.
If the show. I knew I got the job, but they had to pitch the show and get funding.
Come
and
on.
So we waited for 6 months for it to get funded and greenlit.
That's, like, the most anxiety-inducing 6 months with, like, potentially so much excitement at the end, but potentially, like, the worst disappointment.
Crazy. Yeah. So it does get greenlit.
Okay.
They build a new set.
Oh, my God.
I start flying to New York City from Ohio. So it's not too bad. It's like, I don't know, maybe a half hour, 45 minute trip.
It's not Chicago Airport.
It's not Chicago Airport, right. But I'm doing that 3 times a week.
Yeah, oh my God.
Before I officially moved to New York City.
Okay.
So no joke, this, what was supposed to be life-changing for me, was the worst time in my entire life.
Wow.
I was constantly sick because I get motion sick very easily. And flying and taking, first of all, the taxis, the drivers in New York City are just absolute assholes. So I'm sick from the drives. I'm sick from the flights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this 3 times a week. I get to my hotel. I'm sick in the hotel. Then I have to like go film and be sick while I'm filming and pretend like I'm not sick.
Yeah.
They have me like just hopped up on Red Bull the whole time to like, and it was just awful.
Okay.
And on top of that, the show is terrible. Like I'm reading off a teleprompter.
Okay.
To be fair, it's my fault that I think it's terrible. Because it's just like, I started from Page Tech to be my own boss,
and now you're an employee for someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a script, and I'm promoting products that are terrible.
Oh.
Like, just, they're like cheap Amazon. Yeah, and there was one day where, keep in mind, for months, I've been doing this. I'm very, very sick. I'm on set, and they have me talking about an alarm clock.
Okay. Oh, no.
That is like a ring light looks like, and then it lights up slowly. It's supposed to like look like the sun and gracefully wake you up. And they have me pitching this alarm clock, and I get like halfway through the script on the teleprompter, and I stop, and I'm like, I can't do this.
Oh my God!
And I walked off the set.
No, you didn't.
I walked off the set.
Okay.
I walked away from my contract.
Wow.
Lost all that money.
No way.
Yes, of course I did.
But they didn't pay you for like the months of work that you did.
I think I got paid $10,000 total.
That is like really not a good move.
Out of my $800,000 contract,
yeah.
Wow.
God, that like makes you feel a little differently about Amazon. Like,
yeah. So now, during that time, I had pitched them because I was sick. Remember?
Yeah.
I was like, if you're asking YouTubers to come out here and fly and pitch products, you should just have them live stream from their home.
And now, oh my God,
which is now Amazon Live.
That's Amazon Live now.
When you see like creators doing Amazon Live, that's what became of my project.
That's honestly insane. So not only did you do months of work for $10,000, but you also gave them the idea that has changed their like entire platform.
Yeah, well, they didn't even, they said it was a bad idea.
Stop.
And then years later, they're doing it. I'm like, you...
That actually, like, I'm like so bothered for you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I did not have a good experience with them, to say the least. And
that's so messed up.
Yeah, so but that honestly best thing for me, because when I was working for Amazon, I was convinced that Front Page Tech was done. I had convinced myself that, okay, you did all these years of Front Page Tech to get here, to be found, and this is your job now.
Were you not posting during this time?
No.
Okay.
I was in my heart and in my head, Front Page Tech was done.
Okay.
And it had done its job. It got me to where I needed to be.
Yes.
And so I walk off the set, and I tell my best friend who had been doing From Page Tech with me the whole time, who was the editor at the time, the video editor.
Okay.
I'm like, we're going to go all in. Like, this is it. We're going to
just got chills again. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go for it. because I got this Amazon job.
Yeah.
We got him like a new house and I got new stuff because we expected money.
Of course. Oh my God, no. Okay, so I thought that was like a wholesome comment.
And then I walked off the set and lost it all. And so we are screwed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we're going all in. And I'm like way behind on bills. I have like lawyers coming after me because of like how much.
Oh my God. This is like really not that long ago. Like just to give people context, like 2016 is really 2016, not that long ago.
It was like 2016 into 2017. And I'm like, we're going in.
Yeah.
We're just going all for it. So we start posting Front Page Tech. It starts doing well. The iPhone 10 comes out and I post a video called Apple Sucks Now and It's Your Fault.
Mm.
And it was basically about Apple's lack of attention to detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I post that. I just come up with that video idea like in a few minutes. I think I wrote it. I think I scripted it out. I film it and I post it. I go to sleep. I wake up and it's nearing 1 million views. That video. So I went from 300 views to almost 1 million views on this video.
Oh my God.
And we went from like 15,000 subscribers to 40,000.
Okay.
And now Front Page Tech episodes are getting 10,000 views an episode overnight, which is enough to at least sustain the company.
Of course.
And so it worked. It worked. The plan worked.
Oh my
God. We're getting some money.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and thank God this worked out because if I quit Front Page Tech and then just did this Amazon thing, there's no guarantee that it'd be greenlit for a second season.
No.
And obviously it wasn't. The project, everyone's gone. The producer for my show now works for The Tonight Show.
Wow.
Like everyone that worked on that project is gone.
Wow.
And so.
That's crazy because, yeah.
That job would have gone away and I would have had nothing.
That, you know, what's actually insane about the story is like the 800,000 obviously is a ton of money and it sounds like a lot. But it's like, yeah it's 800,000 for 1 year versus
guaranteed 1 year,
right?
Yeah.
Versus Front Page Tech, which will eventually probably, if not already, make that amount over the long run, right? It's so interesting how like we can easily get caught up in like taking a job just for money. Like, I think about it a lot, especially like some people that take like jobs in like investment banking or something and they hate it. And it's like for the money of the moment, but it doesn't make any sense if you end up hating every single day.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I never ever regretted walking away from that because I just was, I was so sick and so uninterested.
I don't know how you did it, honestly.
It's not what I wanted. Yeah. It's not what I want. It sounded good when people offer you that money, but when you're doing it every day and you're like, it's just not worth it. It's just, it's not worth that. And I went back to Front Page Tech. We're making some money from it. We have a couple growth spurts where, okay, now we're getting 50,000 views an episode. Then I leaked some Pixel 3 stuff, I remember. And that got, I leaked some Pixel 3 stuff and I woke up one morning and I was on BGR, the news website.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this, and I got addicted to that feeling.
Interesting. So is that how you got into leaks?
Yeah, that's how leaks started. And then I start doing Samsung leaks in like 2018, 2019-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I got addicted to that feeling. And because that happened, then people that worked for Apple start reaching out because, I mean, they just watch the show regularly.
Yeah, of course.
You know? So that's, I think that's the benefit of Front Page Tech is like a lot of these employees just enjoy the show. So it's not like the people, some people are like, why do they reach out to you? That's really all. That's all because they're already fans of the show.
And they probably feel like they're friends with you because of the whole like parasocial relationship thing. Like they probably feel like they know you on like an intimate level.
Yeah. So that's how Leak started. And obviously that completely transformed my career. And
wait, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
I think that leaks are like one of the most interesting things of your job because it's such a hard balance to like, there's so many things that you have to get right that you always like effortlessly from the outside, but I'm sure it takes a lot of work, get right. Like making sure the leaks are credible, making sure to protect the people that are leaking it to you so like they don't lose their jobs, and then protecting yourself from lawsuits. So kind of like walk us through like those three things. Like how do you hit every avenue?
Carefully.
So like, just to rephrase them. So like, credible, like protecting the people that send you leaks and then protecting yourself.
So we have I'm not going to go in depth about how we identify credible sources,
okay,
but they have to go through a process.
Okay.
They go through a process of confirming their identity and obviously who they work for, which department and stuff. And so it starts there. And then a lot of times, like some of this stuff is really in depth. Like a source that I call the good,
okay,
is very interesting because I don't have direct contact with them, so it's a big mystery of who they are.
Ooh.
They just wanted to get in contact with me, and so there's like a middle person. The actual source refuses to send any messages or do any phone calls.
That's interesting.
So my middleman drives to them.
Oh my God.
The person gives them the information, and then that person relays it to me.
Quite elaborate.
That's how we did AirPods Max, that's how we did AirTags, and that's how we did a lot of like the product drop times and dates, like exact times and dates, and that... I just wanted to, like, a lot of this stuff and leaks and whatnot has been wrapped up in traditional media where it's written and everything's taken really seriously. And I wanted to undo all of that.
Yeah.
And that's why at first media kind of hated how I was doing it because I was making it fun and like,
yes,
you know, I'm going to shave my eyebrows if I get this wrong. And so I really wanted my first priority because of what I do is to put on a show. It's not necessarily getting the information out. It's doing it in a fun way.
Oh, interesting. So is that like for you, like when you think about your goals, is the primary goal like wholesomeness, like escapism, and then journalistic integrity and like information?
Yes. My loyalty is with the audience.
Okay.
And I want to put on a show for them. I want it to be memorable, and that's my main priority. And then, of course, then it's the information. We've never gotten a source has never been compromised by working through us.
That's so amazing.
We've gone through a lot of effort. Like if we get, obviously we've gotten a lot of pictures of products being made from the supply chain or final products.
And then you work with a designer, right?
And so yeah, so I work with Ian, who. Obviously, he's seen all the images I've seen, and his job is to recreate it in a way that, like, even if it's wallpapers, we have to recreate wallpapers, change wallpapers, because even that could get a source caught.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so amazing, because I think some people aren't as careful.
Yes. And so, previously, I worked with concept creator, Jermaine.
Yes.
And he lives in the Netherlands.
Okay.
So, we did AirTags and AirPods Max together.
Okay.
And because he's not protected by the same rights we are here in the U.S., he got a letter from Apple, because Apple couldn't come after me, so they went after him.
Really?
And so that's why he doesn't do that stuff anymore. And that's why I work with Ian now, who's in the U.S. Ian was just like, he would just make his own renders of my leaks and post them on Twitter. And that's how I found him.
Yes, I'm connected with Ian on Twitter.
Yes. He's amazing. He's
so
absolutely
talented.
Amazing.
And the talent that he has is unreal, honestly.
I feel like I groomed him.
Yeah.
I found him on Twitter. And I remember I messaged him one day. I was like, hey, you want to be in the news tomorrow? And he was like, what? And I gave him pictures of the Pixel Watch. And
that's so
we leaked
funny.
The Pixel Watch that day.
Oh, my God.
Now he's exclusive to me because I know he's young and he's extremely talented, and I know any company would be glad to have him. So he's exclusively tied to me. I got him early.
And it makes sense that he would want to stay with you because I feel like you're it when it comes to leaks, and also you're a good guy. Like
I think it's just about making it fun, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also like you always give him like credit, which I think is really nice. Like I think a lot of people
he's the best.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it without Ian. He's like, he's the person that brings everything to life.
It's amazing.
Like, I can protect sources because of him. We have something to show the audience because of him.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do that. And it's a lot of leaks, you know, just describing products, and we get to show you what it looks like. And that
makes
that
all the difference.
Like, yeah, that's all Ian, you know? And a lot of his renders look better than Apple's. Like,
it's
a lot of his product renders look better.
Yeah, I don't know how he's so good. Like, it's genuinely insane.
It's magic.
Yeah, he
it's
is magical.
Magic. I don't know.
You're both magical. Okay,
no.
So for you, like, are leaks, like, the most, like, before the podcast, we were talking a little bit about, like, fulfillment and YouTube. Are leaks for you, like, the most fulfilling coverage? Or, like, what's, like, the most fulfilling thing for you to cover?
Leaks are too... I don't want to say they ruined my life, but...
Double-edged sword.
They transformed my career, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is so mentally tasking. So many nights of not sleeping. There's a lot... Well, because a lot of the sources are in China, so I have to talk to them through that time zone. Mm-hmm. Or I'm too stressed to sleep. Or, like, we're about to drop this big thing, and Ian and I are working, like... There was a week where we did leaks every single day of the week, and that wasn't planned.
Oh, my God.
We did a leak of, like, the Pixel 6.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden the next day I get something else. So I'm like, Ian, here's this. And so we were up all night, every night that week, putting out leaks all week.
Oh,
but that
my
was
God.
So much fun. But it's just too stressful to where right now, even though I'm getting information from sources, we're sitting on a couple leaks, a couple renders that we haven't even, like, put out.
Wow.
And that have been done for, like, oh, I don't know, a month or two. And right now I'm just enjoying going back to the roots of Front Page Tech and just having fun because it wasn't fun anymore. Mm. It was too stressful. And so right now that's what I'm doing, and I'm really enjoying that. So while leaks transformed my career, you know, the audience is what I'm loyal to at the end of the day. And so that's, you know, I want to make it for them. And I have people commenting like, why don't you do leaks anymore? Like you're the only one that was good at leaks and I missed that. And you're worthless without the leaks. And they don't understand that I did this for like 8 years before leaks. And so I just wanted to do the show the way everyone else wanted it before all the leaks happened, the way I wanted it, the way it felt authentic to me. And so that's sort of what I'm doing right now. And it's like I'm having fun again doing that. We'll do leaks again probably very soon. And if I do leak, I tweet a lot of leaks. But
you do.
On the show, it's more just like I just want to have fun right now.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I did have a question, actually, as you were explaining about the leaks. So you've been sitting on a couple leaks for right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know with YouTube and like all these other platforms, there's like, I guess, almost like a prime time sometime to like release content. So when it comes to leaks, do you find that there are specific times where your leaks will have or get more traction, like almost like a prime time either in the news cycle or in the year that you find just works a lot better? Or do you find that like the moment you get it, the sooner it's out, it's like that's best?
It depends. Some I have to hurry on because I know somebody else has it. Because you just know some things behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and so I got to try to be fast. But I never do it like after 5 p.m. because I want to do it when it's like good for the press. Mm. I won't do it on the weekends.
Makes sense.
So it's always Monday through Friday before 5 p.m. Usually after 8 a.m. Usually around 8 a.m. And at this point now, most of the outlets have a heads up. They've reached out to me, and so they have their articles ready. And there's an agreement that like a half hour after the show goes up, then your article goes out. Or, you know, maybe I usually choose one outlet each time that gets like our iPhone 14 renders from the like the that showed the purple color and the dual hole punch. You know, the ones that you saw before the phone actually came out.
Yeah,
we worked with Mac Rumors before the episode went out, and they got like four exclusive renders that weren't in the show.
That's so nice.
It's like, wow. So it's like I want to give back to them too, because they've been so good to me. And so it's just like, Now we sort of give people a heads up, and so it's fun that way. It's like, but it's usually I do it around, you know, very early in the morning. Everything's planned. The outlets have a heads up, and they get to see stuff early, and so everything's like planned that way now.
So what to you is like the fun thing, right? You said like you're getting back to your roots, like maybe you'll do this again, but what's like the type of content that like lights your soul on fire? Like you feel like really excited to make it?
Smart videos or dumb videos for smart people. That's it. I want you to just be able to watch it. And the videos that I'm most proud of are not the leaks. It's not the renders.
Okay.
Though those do really well.
Which one is it?
It's like when I feel best when I can read the comments and all the comments are quotes from the show.
Oh my God. I love that. That makes so much sense, because you're kind of writing a comedy show in a way.
Yeah, and it's like, if the joke was funny enough that they wanted to repeat it in a comment or watch it back, like, that to me is peak pride for me. I'm so proud of that, of those moments, and that's what I want, because there's a lot of kids or even grown adults that are just like, man, life is tough, especially during the week if you're working and you're like sucked into that and everyone's so busy and stressed, and just give me 10 minutes out of your day and I'll make you laugh and then we can be done with it. That's all I want, is to just give you 10 minutes to just forget about that stuff. And it's not the leaks or anything like that. It's the jokes and just the 10 minutes that you spend with me that you forgot about that stuff.
I love it. I think that's such a wholesome mission, honestly.
People will never see it that way. They never know why I do it. So it's interesting to say it out loud, because like it does look really dumb on the surface, but that's the point.
I don't think it does though. Like even without me knowing like your background that you just shared with us, like I've always loved your show and I've always gone to it for that exact reason. You're also like really, really likable on camera and like fun and natural.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. How do you think like that you learned that skill? Because that's like definitely
11 years.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my answer too. When people ask me about this too,
like I'm so comfortable with the show. Like I'm less comfortable like on this podcast right now. I know I can do it, and I'm being myself, obviously. Yeah. But on the show, I'm just in my element. I know exactly how to be. Mm-hmm. And the show used to be like completely ad-libbed. Mm. But once the leaks started and the press started quoting me, everything was written.
Interesting.
Everything
that
is very
sense.
Meticulous on the show now. Like, on the show, if you watch it now, every pause, every quote unquote mess up is written in the script. It's all planned. There's nothing that is not planned.
Wow.
Yes. 100% of the show is scripted. It might not seem like it because that's the point.
Do you teleprompt it?
No.
Oh, so you just memorize it.
Yeah. So I this is another thing. I used to go to acting school. That was like, I wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
Wow.
So this is like the only thing that I have left from acting school is that I memorize lines well. So that's why I'm holding an iPad. One, because it's like, that's my thing. It's holding an iPad on the show. Mm-hmm. But also that's where the script is. So I will memorize like a paragraph or two at a time.
That's what I do too.
Mm-hmm. And that helps me also, because if I'm reading a teleprompter, I feel like you can tell that I'm reading. Whereas if I just memorize it, I say it naturally.
I agree. Yeah, I've tried the teleprompter thing to no success. I thought it was like horrible. Like I was like, now I feel like it's a newscaster. Whereas I do the same thing as you. Like I have the script there and I memorize a couple of the paragraphs and then I just say them and it feels more conversational. But it's interesting that you said that you feel really comfortable on camera, because I also relate to that. I've been doing it like a little less than you, like 7 years. Mm-hmm. But there are times,
still a very long time.
Yeah, it's like so much of my life. But there are times when I'll be out somewhere and I'm like, if I just act like I'm on camera right now, I think this interaction will go better. Because it's just like, I feel so comfortable
Yeah.
And I think most people have the reverse thing because it just takes repetition. Do you feel like there's like actionable, like if someone were to ask you advice, right? Like you tell them you're a YouTuber, which like why, but you did. And now they ask yeah. advice, like how to get started on YouTube. Like what should they do? Are there actionable things that you're like, yes, you need repetition, but also try these things?
No, I just do it is the best advice, because no matter what advice I give you, the words are meaningless to you unless you can attach it to a feeling. Mm. And you can't do that unless you're actually experiencing it and doing it. And, you know, I watched the same videos you did probably starting on YouTube, like how to get more subscribers, how to get more views. And like, none of that stuff actually worked.
Very true.
It's good advice, but you can only attach that, those words, if you have the experience and the feeling and you actually, you get it.
True.
And the only way to get it is to just do it for a long time until it clicks. And like I was, even as a kid, you know, someone pointed a camera at me and I was like, you know, that was my thing. I loved being on camera as a kid.
Yeah.
And were you like that too as a kid?
I also like being on camera a lot. Like this YouTube channel was not my first YouTube channel. They're no longer public, but I've tried like other things and they're the most cringe in the world. But yeah, no, I always loved like film and stuff. Okay. So you went to acting school. What was exciting to you about acting? Like, is it like taking on the role of someone else? Is it like the performance element, which is kind of what you're doing now?
Yeah, it was. I just wanted to be something else, somebody else for just a brief moment. And it wasn't even really the act. It was the end result that I was interested in. It's not necessarily the art of acting. I just wanted to do the same thing I'm doing now. I wanted people to laugh, or that was like my main goal. And so that's still what I'm doing, just not in the art of acting itself. I'm still getting the same end result that I've always wanted, just not in that way. I'd much rather do this and be myself than act as a different character. I'd rather you have fun with me than whatever character I'm playing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting that you've always kind of been aware of like the audience dynamic, right? Like when you want to be an actor, it's like how you make other people feel. Do you also think about that in terms of like cultivating like the front page tech community? Because I think you're one of the few tech YouTubers that has like this diehard community where like people in the community like know each other, right? So talk me through that. What was like the catalyst for your wanting to do that? And then how are you kind of like creating that energy?
Honestly, I let the audience do it. And I think that's like, I think that comes as a result of me. That's just a side effect of me wanting to put them first.
Yeah.
So like the Toilet Squad thing is like, that's what the audience calls himself. I didn't make that up.
No way. They made that up?
So I made a joke one time during the show that, listen, I know you're watching this on the toilet right now. So then everyone started commenting Toilet Squad.
Wow.
And so we turned that into a meme and merch and like this whole thing. They did that. I'm just following their lead. Whatever the audience responds well to is what they get more of. And so I think that's why it works. I think that's why they're very, like, if you go to the Front Page Tech channel, every episode has like around the same amount of views. Like everything is so consistent, which I feel is rare on YouTube, but it's because I'm giving them exactly what they ask for. And like we talked about, maybe before the podcast, double-edged sword, because I am in a creative box.
Yeah.
Like I can't really experiment. I have to do exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. But luckily I get to do exactly what they want because that's what I created in the first place. And so I don't resent it. I'm still doing exactly what I want, sort of in a way. I just have to I want to be able to say the things that I want to say while also playing the YouTube game, which is thumbnails and titles are very I hate that. I hate the way thumbnails are. I hate titling stuff like that.
Do you hate it because you feel like you have to lean into negativity or sensationalism?
Yeah. And it's just boring. Like it's so
What would happen if you didn't?
It wouldn't work, I don't think. I don't think I would. I think the views would be consistent, but we wouldn't reach a new audience. I know the audience that watches me now, they would keep watching, but you need to expand too. And the only way to do that is to play the game, play the YouTube game. And so I have to make this billboard that is obnoxious and terrible. But once I get the click, I can do whatever I want. And so that's the goal. I want to get the click and then be who I want to be, talk the way I want to talk. Some shows are serious and analytical, and some shows are completely ridiculous and all jokes, and I get to decide that, and that's what I love about it. So Front Page Tech is Front Page Tech every single day, but I do have creative freedom that once I get that click, it can be whatever I want.
The click is such a hard thing to balance because
it's terrible.
I was talking to someone recently, Liron Segev, and I was like, I don't want to lean into negativity. That is just not for me. I want to be excited and optimistic about tech. And I feel like so many of the titles are don't buy this phone or everything that's bad about it or like everyone's wrong. And I'm like, how do I do this? Like, how am I positive and optimistic in the title when I know, like, analytics wise, data wise, like if I do a negative title, it just gets a higher CTR.
Yeah. And that's, but it sucks that you know that too. Like, yeah. I will come up with a title that I like and I'm like, but if I title it this, I know it's going to do better, but I feel gross titling it
this.
Me
too.
But you have to. It's like, you have to please YouTube. You have to please the audience. And like, it's not the algorithm's fault. The algorithm is just doing what
people... No, it's like people are clicking.
Yes, that's their... It's their fault.
Like, they're clicking on this trash.
It's your fault that I have to be so gross.
Yeah.
I hate titling every video about the iPhone 14 or now the iPhone 15 coming up. I hate that. I hate that once the phone is out, you don't care anymore and I have to start talking about next year's stuff.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that so much. But... I will play your reindeer games if you keep clicking. That's just how it works.
I actually really like this outlook is refreshing to me because this has honestly been something that I've been grappling with a lot of like finding that balance and feeling okay about it.
I think the way you feel okay about it is once you get the click, then you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
And there's freedom in that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you might feel gross about getting the click, but at least you're not lying in the video. You know, you can be yourself in the video.
Do you find that then that affects like the audience, like view duration though? Like if they're clicking for the title, but then the video isn't necessarily like, reflective of that?
Oh no, it is reflective of that, but I'm framing it in a creative way where it's like, it's not a bait and switch. You're getting what you clicked on, but I'm still talking about it in the way I want to talk about it. And the previous season of Front Page Tech, there was like, you know, an intro that was full of nothing. And then the first story, which is kind of nonsense. And then an ad. And then the last story was was the title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was like 60% audience retention from that.
Pretty
and we
amazing.
All, there's like, there. Well, hang on. There's an idea that it's like, always put the main thing last so they watch longer.
Yeah.
But I was watching, you know, you can see dashboard analytics. And so I'm like watching people skip stuff. And I'm like, So for season 10, I start thinking, well, number one, I'm bored of the same structure of the show. I want to change it. So I got rid of the intro. Now it's just like there's a hook, then like the logo shows up, but then we're right into the show. And instead of doing the main story last, I'm now delivering the main story first. So, and at first I thought that was going to hurt me, but the audience retention is now 80% on the episodes.
Wow.
Wow.
So, and I think the way that works is, and I couldn't recognize this when it was just the thing that I wanted to try. But now that I see the data, what I think is happening is I'm gaining their trust off the first story.
Yes.
They're not confused about what they're hearing because it's exactly what they clicked on. And then because I earned their trust in that first story, they're willing to stay for the rest.
Yes, I agree with you.
And so the way the show works is the title is always like obviously the main story, but there's always a second story that means nothing. And that's on purpose. Like it's just something that it's a vehicle for me to make jokes and show you what the show is.
I love that.
The first story is to get you in. The second story is to just make you realize that this is not your normal tech show. That's all the second story serves. That's its only job.
That's so
it's always bullshit. It never matters. Like if you watch the show now, you'll see that like every time I go into the second story, it's like I didn't need to know this information.
That's
but
so
here
wild.
I am. You know, I'm watching it, and it's that is just information and content for me to win you over. That's all the second story
is. It's so wild because every single YouTuber that we've had on here, when they talk about like their format or style, it's so meticulous. Like everyone is so strategic, but when we're all creating content online, like it looks effortless when you make those videos, right? Like
that's the point.
And that's the point, right? It's like if you do it well, it should look like no effort went into it, like that anyone can do it. It's like if you, there was a movie that won like the best editing. And it was, I forget what, maybe at the Oscars. And it was like actually horribly edited. It was just that there were a lot of cuts. And so they noticed the editing. But the movies that are actually really good, you don't even notice the editing because it runs,
it's seamless.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for your show. It's like, I wouldn't even notice that until you just said it now. But now it's like clicking, like it makes sense to me. But when I'm watching it, you write it so well that it just flows. It feels like I'm just hanging out with you and like listening to a story.
Well, I've never said this publicly yet.
Ooh, is this a little Digital Dive exclusive?
Exclusive.
I am no longer the writer for Front Page Tech.
Wow.
So since the beginning, I ad-libbed the show at first. I would just like get news articles, try to memorize them, and then I would ad-lib the show. But when the press started covering me, I wanted to be very careful of what I said and how I said things.
Makes sense.
And now I'm just obsessed with making a tight show. Like, I don't want there to be fluff. I just want, like, I want it to flow really well. I don't want to repeat myself. And the best way to do that is to script it. to that like know what I'm going to say before I go in. And after writing for so long, I just, the fun got sucked out of it. And because the fun is sucked out of it, I feel like the audience suffers. And I am not loyal to myself. I'm loyal to them. I will drop my pride and my ego to make a better show for them. And though I want, though, you know, I, at first I was like, if I stop writing the show, then it's not me anymore.
Yeah, like a lot of your identity is tied to it.
Right. But at the end of the day, that's not my job. My job is to make them have a better show. So I was starting to get really blocked writing, and I just wouldn't write the show. I just walk away. And if I miss that first step, that means the rest of the show doesn't get made. And so that the audience suffers. So I was like, okay, if this is an issue, there's going to be, you know, somebody better suited for this. And so frontpagetech.com, the website, the writer that writes for the website, now writes for the show. And it's Brian, my best friend from high school.
No way.
So like he started Front Page Tech with me technically. He's been around since the beginning, but because he's been around since the beginning, he knows how I say things, why I say them. He understands the brand better than anybody, so I trust him to write the show. And so for the last couple weeks, he's been writing the show, and we did like a probationary period, but I think it's pretty safe to say that it's like legit now. It's going to be full time.
Wow, that's exciting.
It's awesome. So much easier because he writes just like me. He delivers the script every day. And if there's something that I think I would say a little bit different, I just change it. And it makes the show more fun for me because it's fresh content. You know, I didn't write it. So if something's funny, I will laugh at it during the show.
Oh, that's actually really funny.
And also, this is opening us up to being able to create the show every day. Again, so it was like 3 times a week, but now we're going to go every day, and it also opens up.
I don't know how you do it. Like that's insane, honestly. Like,
but now it also opens up the ability for me to do extra stuff. So because he's writing, I made that like iPhone 14 not review.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I can do more. I can do more of that stuff now because I'm freed up, and that was fun for me. That was like a fun extra project that I could do because I didn't have to focus on the episode because it was being.
And are you editing the show still?
Yes. So I used to have an editor, but I actually do. I like editing. I like that creative control at the end. So I like being on camera. That'll never change. I like editing. That has changed, and I'm sure I'll fluctuate. But I might write the show again one day, or write episodes here and there. Especially if it's a show about my opinion, I will write it. Like there was a show. I think it was the iPhone 14 is amazing.
Okay.
Where the second story was written by him, but the first story, since it was my opinion, was written by
me. That makes sense.
And that's very important to me. And that's important.
I think it actually makes sense. Yeah. First of all, yeah. Like, you couldn't have someone else writing your opinions. But also, it makes sense to me, like, as a creator, I think if you keep your team pretty lean, then you do have the flexibility to, like, change things. And I remember Marquez recently just said that he still does something that he's outsourced to people 1 out of 10 times. To remember how to do it and to like make sure that he can still do it.
And
I thought it was really smart.
Smart, yeah.
Right?
Huh, that's really interesting. Yeah,
I was kind of like, because that's one of my biggest fears. Every time I outsource something, I'm like, oh God, like I need to make sure I can still fully do this because I never want to be in a position where like if the person's sick or like there's a crisis that like now suddenly the video can't be made.
Right.
But incredibly impressive to me that you post as frequently as you do because even posting once a week now, for me is like a struggle. I think the biggest thing that I'm thinking about a lot as a creator is like a more sustainable format for some of the videos. Cause right now the videos are so highly produced. I'm using like quotes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like you are not giving yourself enough credit. Yes, I post frequently, but that's because it's like the process is so repeatable. It's cookie cutter. Like it's the same formula every single time. Whereas yours is not.
And that makes it hard. Like, I think. Well, thank you.
Yeah. All we have to plan is a new script every day because the rest of it is the same, right? It's the same formula. It's a show. It's a daily show.
It's smart.
And all that gets replaced in the show is the word.
It's really smart.
For you, it is not that way.
Yeah, for me, it's like every project starts at like a zero and then it's like building it, like building that story.
Yeah.
But I think what you do is much smarter because it's more sustainable and like repeatable.
Well, that's what I made. That's what I made. I made that because I'm creative to a point, but I need something to build off on.
It's really smart.
And when I started Front Page Tech, there was... The YouTubers talking about tech stuff were just kind of repeating headlines. And I'm like, why am I watching this? I can just get this in a tweet when tweets were like 140 characters. That's why Front Page Tech got made. I wanted to be like, how can I give people the news, but it's consumable.
That's interesting.
And you have fun doing it. And I don't have to think of the video idea because there's news every day. So that's the goal.
Yes, that's one of the best things about tech YouTube. It's like they help write our headlines. Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot with like, and I literally could talk to you for hours, but I want to do more like day in the life reviews. And to me, that feels like a more consistent format of, I kind of know how that's going to break down because it can follow a day of the morning, the afternoon, the night. And that feels a little bit more like, if I give myself that as like the creative limitation, then maybe I can make it more sustainably versus like starting at square one every time.
Yeah. Like I think I'm going to do that too for the, so the iPhone 14 thing I just did for the iPhone 14 Pro, because I legitimately was not happy with how things were being conveyed to the audience. And the feedback that I got from that was mostly good, but there was a couple of people, cause I talk about regular consumers in that video. And people are like, you're not making videos for regular consumers, so why are you talking to us about this? It's because I want you to understand the perspective from outside of yourself. I'm making the video for you. I know the regular consumers aren't watching this right now. I'm making this video so that you understand them.
Oh, interesting.
And there was a lot of people that were like, that feel like they're missing out and stuff. And I just wanted them to feel comfortable, like, not upgrading, because they just, first of all, you don't have to every year in the first place. But second of all, like, I just, not that other YouTubers are being dishonest. I don't think that. I just think that we get excited in a different way, to where I can see that a lot of people that would struggle with the financial decision to buy it, once they have it, not that they would be disappointed with the phone, but they might have some buyers.
I agree. Oh my God, this is so crazy you're mentioning this, because I was just talking about this with a friend. Of like, it's so exciting before you get the product, but then when you actually get it, there's no possible way it can live up to your expectation. Like, if you spend $1,000 on something, it's impossible that you're going to feel.
Yeah, like the digital, or the digital island, digital dive,
yes,
whatever.
We're in the mode right now.
The dynamic island was like so exciting during the keynote, and then when I got it, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was it.
That's
right.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, it completely changed the experience for the iPhone for me, but it's just like, okay. Yeah, that's fine. And so that's why in the video, I was like, yes, this is an amazing phone. You should buy it. But if you're watching this video because you want me to convince you, I can already tell you, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're struggling with that decision right now, don't worry about it this year. So, and that's about listening to the audience, because, so that was a one-off thing, just because I felt strongly about how people were conveying this phone.
And it's going
but
well.
People
right?
were talking. Yeah, it's going super well. And the comments are all like, we want more of this. This was great. So that's another aspect of listening to the audience. I will do this every year now. Or you'll get a quote unquote not a review
that.
Of something.
I mean, it makes sense, because it's like a thing that you're passionate
just like,
about.
That's a reaction to the audience.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's also like, it's A, a reaction to the audience, but then B, I think it's getting received so well because like you could feel your excitement in that video when you're watching it. Because you wanted to make it, right?
Yeah.
Like you felt strongly about it.
That was a video. There's no ad in that video either. That I just made that because I wanted to make it.
I love it.
That's awesome.
All right. I have one more question for you. Also, you are like one of my favorite guests of all time and favorite people.
What?
You're just so good. I just respect you so much. And also, I think you're like just like a really, really good person and also brilliant.
Shucks.
So
this was awesome. This is everything.
Oh, thanks.
I've literally sat here and I've been just listening because this has been so
I can't believe it's over. Let's go another hour. Let's go.
We will have you back anytime.
I've been just sitting here and listening for the entire time. Please. We need to have you on again and again. This was incredible. I honestly been sitting here and both of you had mentioned like you guys each respect each other's ability to produce content. I'm sitting here, I haven't made a video in 2 years. Like, I'm looking at both of you like, this is crazy. Like, you guys are
actually, are you gonna tonight now?
You should, Darsh.
All I kind of want, I was thinking about, like, I've been saying this for weeks. I want to start the vlog. I think I'm gonna start the vlog. It's gonna happen. We'll
Let's
do it.
Go, Darsh.
It's gonna happen. But I think this was honestly incredible. And with that all being said, to the listeners out there, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did, because I've been just sitting and like obtaining as much information as humanly possible. Like, now I have all this drive to make a channel again and get back into it.
Yes. All right.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
dude,
John, you're like so inspirational. Like, I would talk to you off podcast any day of the week, any time of the day.
Let's go.
Okay, my last question for you. When you think about like 5 years from now, which is like kind of like existential,
gosh.
I know some people hate this question. What's like
you're the worst.
What's like the piece of tech or something in your personal life that you're like looking forward to and most excited for?
Oh man, I'm glad you're asking me now, because my answer is dramatically
Ooh.
Different now. And you're not going to believe
okay.
this about me. But I, for the longest time, and I have a history of this on my podcast, I was absolutely negative about VR.
Mm.
And when the Apple headset came up, I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand VR. I want Apple to come on stage and tell me why I should care.
Yeah.
I was completely wrong about all
wow.
of that.
Wow.
VR, so I recently got a Quest, like, which is rare. I know, you'd think I would have already had it, but I got
okay.
a Quest. Mm-hmm. I was always afraid that I'd get motion sick, because I
that
get sick
sense.
For everything.
Yes.
I just said that. Yeah, so, But I got a quest. I got a quest and some Dramamine. Okay. Some motion sickness medicine.
Nice.
The full package.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I got the buy one, get one.
Oh,
I got the bundle deal. So,
nice.
So the second I get in the quest, I'm like, oh my God, I get it now.
Oh, wow. What was the thing that made you feel like you got it? Was there an app?
No, it's just the experience itself. Okay. Like, and I think it helped the quest to stand alone.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
You can plug it into
that
a PC.
That is a big difference.
The fact that it's an all-in-one package and I can just be somewhere else is incredible. And what really changed it for me was, so I used to live in Ohio. I live in Arkansas now. And my best friend, but also the writer and the person that works with me on this, Brian, he still lives in Ohio. And we just like got together in VR for like a meeting one time. And I was like, oh my God.
That's so wild.
Like, it feels like I'm here with you. This is nuts. And it clicked. So VR is one of those things where it's another one of those things where words don't matter if you can't attach them to a feeling. Like someone could have explained to me, you could have sat here and told me why VR is awesome all day. And I would have been like, nah.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Until I tried it and I can actually attach an emotional feeling to it. I'm like, this is incredible, especially like during the pandemic or something. I wish I would have known about it then.
It would have changed
your
whole life.
But I wish I would have given it a chance. Yeah. So now that's what I'm most excited about. AR, VR stuff is what I'm most excited about. I could care less about the iPhone. I'm excited about Mac a lot.
Me too,
like,
actually.
Apple Silicon has reinvigorated my love for Mac. I'm most excited about Mac products right now, which we're getting Macs next month, so that's cool. Yeah, so I'm excited about Macs, but I'm more excited about the prospect of AR and VR, and I'm excited about what Apple's going to offer us, and yeah, I think that's the future.
I love it. I think you're so right about certain tech experiences needing to actually be experienced to enjoy them. Like, same thing with foldables. I remember I just showed a friend recently the Samsung Fold. We were at, like, a coffee shop, and he had seen it in, like, advertisements and stuff, but then he got it in his hand, and he was like, oh my God, this is really cool, and, like, I can actually see that foldables may be the future, and, like, he's an iPhone guy, so he's like, I can't wait for Apple to make it. Like, that was the takeaway. But I was like, still progress. That's so exciting. All right, John.
2025 for that Apple.
Ooh, I love, you're like just a wealth of all Apple knowledge.
Unless they give up.
Unless they give up? Do you think there's a chance?
So, I mean, I think that, I think by that time, Samsung and other people will have been doing it for so long. Okay, so I think it's a fad.
Okay.
I think it's a stopgap between what we think of a smartphone right now, this rectangle, and something
else. I agree.
Else.
I think that AR could replace like the whole smartphone potentially industry.
Yeah, I think we got bored, and so we're folding stuff. That's incredible that we can do that. It's incredible that we can fold a display, but I think it's a stopgap to something else. And I think by 2025, we're going to be closer to whatever that something else is that Apple might just ditch it.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
I think they might have waited too long.
I can see that take, actually.
I'd say there's like 30% chance that it just never comes to market.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it also depends how quickly like AR glasses advance and whatever's next advances. And,
The metaverse.
Yeah, oh God, no. All right. John, genuinely, you are the greatest of all time. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Okay, anyone that's listening, check out Genius Bar if you want more of John, which how could you not? That's his podcast. Check out Front Page Tech. There are 3 episodes a week right now, but going back to every day.
Monday through
Friday. So exciting. Wow. That's like insane.
So exciting.
And then we'll catch you next week for like a normal Digital Dive episode at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. John, seriously, thank you so much. You are the greatest.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I got to be a guest on one of my favorite shows.
You are
the kindest, most
wholesome guy in the world.
Also, it was really nice meeting you, Darce.
It was very nice meeting you, John. Honestly, like, Jacqueline told me you were coming on, and I was through the moon. I was so excited. I told my brother he was excited, too, because he's a huge fan as well.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
It was just a whole ordeal. It was awesome.
Like I said, I'm a fan of your show, so I feel lucky to be
here.
You're
the best.
It's the opposite for
you
me.
You are the greatest.
Also, quickly before we do go, I want to give a huge shout-out, as always, to Adil Constantine for the amazing intro and outro music that you're about to hear right now. He honestly killed it with it. We've been using it, and Jack and I hear it every time we start the episodes now. Like, it literally just pops up in our head.
Yeah, we've heard it too many times. Yeah.
It's like 2 years in that we hear it every time. But thank you guys all for listening. And as Jack mentioned, we'll see you guys next week on Monday at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, talk soon.